and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercies, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, do be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? All those who seek me are gone from me.
The Lord be with you.
And with
my spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is written in the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to you double. This is the word of the Lord. You hold me by my right hand.
You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Truly God is good to Israel, to such are sure in your heart.
Our second reading is written in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was not in the form of God, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My God, my God,
why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from touching me? And from the words of my groans, our fathers trusted in you, they trusted in you to deliver them, they cried to you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you? Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, They divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You, who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests, with the scribes and the elders, mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today being Palm Sunday, we remember our Lord's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We remember him being welcomed as a king with hosannas. But today is also Passion Sunday, where we flash forward to what is to come later in this Holy Week. For we cannot separate our Lord's kingdom from his passion. We cannot look to Jesus on his throne in glory at the right hand of the Father without recalling to mind his being on the cross and crying out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? And even as we flash forward to our Lord's arrests, his trials, his tortures, his crucifixion, death, and burial, we also flash back to the prophet Zechariah, who prophesied this royal entry of the Son of David more than 500 years before. We also flash forward to our own time when we consider what all of this means for us. Zechariah's bid to us to rejoice greatly because your king is coming to you. He is humble and mounted on the donkey. The Messiah will not ride on a steed of war, but will enter David's royal city like David's eldest son, King Solomon, who rode his father's donkey as a sign of his legitimate rule as king. For the Christ will come, also a son of David, and he will replicate this royal ride into Jerusalem. And indeed, Jesus did. Jesus came to Jerusalem. He came to the city of peace to bring peace. The king of the Palm Sunday coronation ride did not ride in to take control, though, of an earthly kingdom. Less than 1 week later, he was explaining to Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world. The peace that Jesus came to establish was not that of nation to nation, but it was a bigger peace. Peace between God and man. And he did so by ending the war called sin. Because mankind has been at war with God. God is our natural enemy. Our sin and guilt make us hate him, and he is utterly offended at us and by our sin. Because God is holy. That is why we look over our shoulder and silently blame God when things seem to go wrong one after another. This is why we tell ourselves that God is dealing harshly with us because we have done a specific sin, even if our string of mishaps is unrelated. Now, to be sure, we would deserve it if God dealt with us that way. Our sins are an awful offense to the righteous one, which is the very nature of God. We deserve anything and everything that God can throw at us. We deserve pain and misfortune in this life. We deserve eternal condemnation in the next. Our guilty consciences know that. The peace that Jesus comes to establish is peace between man and God. And he does that by taking the full wrath of God against us and our sins. He takes that upon himself. Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem unaware that the cross lay ahead of him. He rode into Jerusalem specifically to ascend to his unique throne, that is, to be nailed to that cross and to suffer bitter agony and die the death that you and I have deserved and earned. The king of the Palm Sunday coronation ride endured the fear. He endured the sorrow. He endured the pain and the death. And he did it in our place. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin so that we might share in the righteousness which he is by nature, and that he might give us the salvation which is his fundamental quality to give. He ended the war. Jesus silenced the sounds of battle and laid the implements of war to rest. God is no longer angry with us, and we are to be terrified of him no longer. God has reconciled us to himself, and he has done so by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Even to this day, the King of Peace, Jesus, now comes among us in humble means, still proclaiming peace to the nations. It is the peace of sins forgiven. It is the peace of knowing the love of God for us and his goodwill toward us. And what is his goodwill toward us? That our war is over. God is no longer the enemy to be feared. He is our loving heavenly Father. Our real enemies, sin and Satan, have been utterly defeated and rendered powerless to do us any harm. So Jesus now comes among us by means of his ordinary word, by ordinary water, by ordinary bread and wine. Yes, these are the very ordinary and lowly and unassuming means. They are easily overlooked. They are easy to dismiss and disregard as ineffective or insufficient for peace. But oh, the peace they bring and impart to us. It is truly beyond all human understanding. And this is the gift of the king who rides in on a donkey, not a mighty horse of war. It is the gift which he pours out for all, and it is received by everyone who believes in him. That is, everyone who knows what he has done and trusts in the promises of God in connection with Jesus. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus is righteous and endowed with salvation. It is his to give, and he would give it to you and to all who simply take him at his word and learn to trust him in life, to trust him in death, to trust him in good times and in times that are difficult, that are painful, that are troubling. And so we pause and ponder this Holy Week to consider what it means for us that our Lord and King goes to the cross and is laid in the tomb. We know what happens that Sunday morning when the woman go to anoint the Lord's body after the high Sabbath. The first day of the next week will indeed be a new day, not only a new week, but in reality, a new age. And so as our King came once, he will come again. He is coming again, and this time it will not be humble and mounted on a donkey. He has come to save us, saving us and delivering us from the evil one, bringing us into the promised land of eternity, calling us by name out of our graves, and giving us a renewed body in the resurrection, fit to live in a world without sin, live in a world without suffering and without death. And so this day, we join the voice of the prophet Zechariah and say, "Rejoice, O greatly daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Thanks be to God. He has given us the gift of Christ Jesus, that we can with confidence rejoice in what he has done for us. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Merciful Father, in the person of Jesus Christ, you laid down your life for our sin out of pure love. We humbly desire to return your love and to offer our thanks through these gifts.
By your infinite wisdom and gracious will, bless this offering to further the preaching of the gospel to souls purchased by the blood of Christ. May we always give our gifts with sincerity and generosity, moved by your love for us, and our love for you. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the prayers of the church. We pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their need. This morning in our prayers, we rejoice with Jamie and Kelly Bassinet at the birth of a son, Clay. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, look with mercy upon us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name may be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn us from all false doctrine and evil living, that in doing so your precious name may be hallowed among us. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith that the number of Christians may increase. Lord, in your mercy, protect us from our adversary who prowls around looking to devour us. Be with those whose task it is to defend from the evils of this world. We remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. So also, bring help to those who serve as police and emergency workers in our community, that they may be kept safe and that no harm and danger would befall them. Lord, in your mercy, give to those whom you have blessed with the gift of a child your hand of help and comfort. We remember Alyssa and Katie. Turn their trust and hope to you, that in the giving of life, your name may be glorified. And according to your good and gracious will, preserve and protect both mother and child, so that joy may abound in you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, we give you praise for the gift of life that you have bestowed upon Jamie and Kelly with the birth of a baby son. We pray that you would send your holy angels to shield and protect this child from all danger of body and soul. Preserve him according to your good pleasure until that day when he is brought to the waters of holy baptism to receive the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days in this present life and grant to those who celebrate birthdays this week joy in your loving kindness. We remember especially Palmer and Garrett. Assist them by your Holy Spirit to abide in the confession of your care and protection, and in all things glorify your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks and praise for the tender mercies you have shown to your humble servants, Gary and Sue, who celebrate their gift of marriage this week. Grant them your Holy Spirit that acknowledges your goodness and magnifies your holy name. So also give them grace to continue to love and serve each other as they love and serve you. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own will may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend all who have asked for our prayers. We remember our shut-ins and homebound, Joanne, Eldine, and June, Janine, Jeanette, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, and Lois. So also we remember Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Ryan, Hannah, Jason, Blaine, Karen, Harvey, Paul, Lana, April, Tammy, and Gloria. These and all who are in need, we pray that you would be with them, give them comfort at all times. And in giving them that comfort, that they would glorify you and that your will be done for them. Lord, in your mercy, grant us, dear Father, our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares and help us to trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and we may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that sin may no longer frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Holy Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, we pray that you would deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy and to hear and answer us. And we pray all of this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.